We're in Ephesians 5:18, and we've been looking, as you have your notes, what we've been looking at is the fact that Christians have the potential to live a glorious, harmonious lifestyle. We can be in harmony with each other as we're in harmony with the Holy Spirit and harmony with our Heavenly Father. And what he's designed for us is that we can have a glorious lifestyle. In glorious lifestyle, it means that we can reflect God's opinion of who we are and what we are, and we can actually live that out right now. Put it in another way, we can live godly. We can express godliness. We can show forth God's life living out through a human nature. And that is potentially right now for everyone who's a Christian. And this is the life that he's planned for us. We emphasize many times the three enemies, the flesh, the world, and the devil, and how they attack our mind and how we need to put on the proper defense. But there's more to the Christian life than just fighting with enemies. It's more to the Christian life than in a wrestling match with Satan or in an appetite from the flesh to suppress an appetite that comes from the sin nature or the illusion and the attraction from the world system. The Christian life is more than that. The Christian life is to have this abundant life that can be lived out with us. And there's a standard that we're to be with. And we've looked at the fact that the Holy Spirit is changing us from glory to glory into the image of God. Now, the image of God is a garment of light. God has an image and he garments himself in light. We're changed as we're better reflective surfaces to reflect who God has made us. We are his sons, but we're also his born ones, his children. And he's changing us into the image of Christ to glory, to be better reflective surfaces. And one day we will be totally garmented in light, a light that reflects exactly who God has made us. We are his sons and we are his born ones. And so we're being changed to that. And as we're being changed, this is part of that godliness that we're showing out. We're being changed to be better reflective surfaces to show forth and reflect God's opinion of who we are. We will be that in the future, but we can show forth from glory to glory some of that now. And that's the emphasis that I'm doing right now. My emphasis, not to skirt that. You have to defend yourself against Satan and his workings on our mind. You have to be aware of the attraction of the world system and that we use it, but we don't abuse it. We have to learn how to recognize the appetite of the sin nature and how to walk by the Spirit so we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. These are the things we need to do, but there's more to the Christian life than that. The Christian life isn't just struggling with enemies. That's a part of it. But the Christian life is also expressing out godliness. And so I'm emphasizing that. And so as I'm emphasizing that this harmonious, glorious lifestyle that God wants us to order the activities of our life around, and then as these enemies try to do that, yes, we need to defend ourselves. But the thing is, living out godliness, showing forth this harmonious Christian lifestyle, and then yes, if an enemy does attack, take the proper defense. Now, as we look at these things, God is using the standard of Christ that we're being changed to, who he sees us in Christ. Now, what we've been looking at is Ephesians 5. I want to look at that. In 5:18, we started here. He tells the Ephesians, and stop being drunk with wine. in which is excess or no saving qualities. They're not going to enhance in any saving magnitude your Christian life. But be continuously being filled by another, by what? With the Spirit. So by the Spirit of God, we're to be filled. Now, filling always is supplying a lacking. Something that we cannot do, He fills up a lacking that we have. I don't want to go back and rehearse all of this, but there's a lacking that we have in Romans chapter 7 that when we have good desires that we want to do, we cannot fulfill them because the sin nature always interferes and we do what we would not want to do. But when we get our mind on things above, and we set our mind in the heavenlies, and we frame our mind on things like Pastor Schaefer is talking about in Sunday school, and we bring our mind into harmony in that limited way with God's mind, seeing ourselves as He sees us in the heavenlies, and what's going on in the heavenlies, as we do that, the Spirit of God, with our mind correctly oriented, the Spirit of God fills up a lacking we have, and lusts against the sin nature so that we don't do what we normally would do, which is the sin nature. The Holy Spirit will bring the victory over the sin nature. He'll fill up our lacking so that now we can express out God's nature. We can express out eternal life. We can manifest godliness. So as we do this, He's telling them to be continually being filled by the Spirit. Once He says, you be filled by the Spirit, that's telling us that all Christians can be filled. These Ephesians could be filled. Why express to them something that could not be done? The Holy Spirit could fill up a lacking in their life and give them that victory where they can express out a lifestyle that is emanating things from the Spirit. They could be filled. They could be filled again and again and again. You be continually being filled by the Spirit. So it's a real perspective that they could have. But who's responsible? You're responsible. You're responsible to get your mind correctly oriented. So he goes on and he's going to give indications of when your spirit filled. Because in verses 19 to 21, we have an array of participles. I'm not going to try to teach us grammar here. But these participles all go back to the verb in verse 18. You be continually being filled by the Spirit. How do you know if you're spirit filled? Well, these are internal evidences where you can look at these things and you know what's going on in your mind. I don't. You can fool me, I can fool you. But you know what's in your mind. And these things that are given here, speaking to yourselves, verse 19, verse 20, giving thanks, and verse 21, submitting yourselves to one another. These are inward mental traits that you can look at and you can discern your own self whether your mind is correctly oriented to God and you are being Spirit-filled. That the Spirit of God is filling up a lacking in your life. He is suppressing the sin. He is suppressing the sin nature so that you don't fulfill their desires and so that you will do God's desires. It's interesting that Pastor Schaefer mentioned in Job chapter 38 something that I also was thinking about last night. When I was in Grants Pass, and some of you knew me back then, if you remember, we had that small house, and most of the time we raised, $900,000 square feet. It's a small house. And we raised our three children there. Then near the end, I finally had a little bit extra money. I put an addition onto the house. Some of you might remember that. My kids certainly do, because we dug the foundation by hand and we mixed the concrete by hand. And we put it all in and then we built it. Now, as I was putting up those walls, the walls have to be straight when you put up. One of the things I used, it's not all I used, but one of the things I used was a plumb line. And as you're constructing those walls and you have them there and your 2x4s and 2x6s are there and you have them there and you're putting these walls up, sometimes with the eye you will look at it and it, what's the matter? Is it a little off? And you're building these walls. And yeah, I'm a terrible drawer. But you're building the walls, and this is certainly not plumb. But you want to make sure, you may look at it, and here you have a wall, and it's set up, and it looks to your eye like, that looks pretty good. It looks like it's straight up and down, and it's in line with everything else. Well, one of the things you have is a little line. It's really simple. It goes back to ancient times. But you have a string, and on the end of the string is a little weighted thing. And I can take this and drop it down, and it should, that string as it's dangling down with the weight, and I'm looking at my wall, and if the string is like this and my wall is like that, what is that telling me? Something's off, right? Maybe I should look at the wall like this. I'm looking at it wrong. I'm looking at it from a wrong perspective. And so the plumb line goes down and it tells me whether I'm perpendicular, whether I'm correctly plumbed, perpendicular to the rest of the structure, whether I'm in line. And so actually this happened. I had the wall and it was off like this, and I had to bend the wall back up and then use another 2x4 that I anchored to the ground to keep that right where I wanted it to be while I built another wall and put it up. So I would have a support to keep that in line. Well, eventually we did. We got the extension all built and it was out. And we used the plumb line. The plumb line was something that would show me whether I was off. I'm trying to use illustrations to show you that in verses 18, 19, 20, 21, if you like, this is a plumb line. There's so many things that are being propagated in Christendom that's out there that make you think that you're right in line. You're perpendicular. My wall's straight. I'm walking the straight and narrow, they'll tell you. And hey, look it, I'm praying. I'm giving my money to church. I go to church services. What else? I must be spiritual. You see? And they give you all these things you're doing. My mother called me last night. I talked to her for what, about half hour, 45 minutes, half hour. And she talked to me about her pastor in Florida. And she said, Orrin, I almost walked out last Sunday. She said, he's just up there and he's beating us over the head every week now and telling us we have to go to every one of our neighbors, even if you went 5-10 times before, you have to go around your neighborhood to everyone and bang on their door and tell them they need to come to church. By the way, is church for the unsaved or for the saved? It's for the saved. But they want to round up a bunch of goats and fill the church full of goats. At least it's full, and the goats probably have more money than the sheep. Oh, money isn't behind it? Then who's being naive? And so she said, he's just pounding us over the head week after week. So she has gone sometimes to other churches to see what's going on. She said the pastor now brought in a new song leader, young guy. And he brought in a new song leader, and now all of a sudden they have an orchestra up there. And she says the whole service of the church has changed. And now it's all emphasis on this upbeat, crazy, gyrating music. By the way, when it's doing that, does it appeal to the spirit or the soul? You think about it. And so the pastor is saying, look at how this new pastor we brought in, and look at how he's changed things and how many more people we have now attending our service. This is where Christendom is. By the way, where's the verse? How do you govern the health of a church or the spirituality of its members? Do you govern it by how many goats you lead through the gate? Do you govern it by whether I got my little fanny to shake at church today and it felt good? But that's Christendom, isn't it? That's what's going on. By the way, I heard that my sister, also in New York, has left where she attended for probably 40 years. Many of the same reasons. Looking for a church. How's your plumb line to see whether you're spirit-filled? Well, it's given us these participles here, is that these are things that are going to result. You remember I've been emphasizing that? These are the results of spirit filling. When you're spirit filled and the Spirit of God is filling up a lacking that you have that you cannot do. In the Old Testament, the Spirit filled and it was a physical lacking. They became better seamstress. They became better craftsmen for building the temple. They became better judges. But in the New Testament, the filling is a spirit emanating quality that the Spirit, it's a spiritual thing. The Holy Spirit fills up our lacking. We cannot express out Christ's likeness because our sin nature gets in the way. It's a spiritual ability. So you get your mind in the heavenlies. You look around in the heavenlies. Helen showed me something that was on Facebook, I think it was. I forgot where it came from. Charles Schulz claimed to be a Christian. I don't know whether he is. You know I communicated with him. He never really communicated back. But he claimed to be saved. He had a picture of Snoopy in one of his cartoons. I forgot what exactly it said, but it was basically Snoopy looking up into the heavens and saying that he can't do anything unless he's got his mind up here looking in the heavens. Now, I know that's a dog, but in his cartoon. But the Christian is no earthly good unless he's heavenly minded. And so you restrict your mind to the things that are being taught in Sunday school, the heavenly host. Then I showed you last week, and then we got to get moving to this week. I showed you last week that there in Ephesians 5, in Colossians 3, excuse me, it says, set your mind on things above, but then you're to progress beyond that and you're to let the word concerning the Christ indwell in you richly. That's in your mind. You now take positional truth. So it starts with you just look around at what's going on in the heavenlies. But then as you mature and you grow, you're to take specific doctrines concerning the Christ and let it indwell in you richly. We'll be more on that later on. But let's get back to Ephesians 5:18 for the message this week. So these three things are your plumb line. Am I off? Am I listening to things that are in the world? Am I listening to things that other people tell me? And maybe I'm off a little bit. I'm not plumb. How do I know if I'm spirit-filled? How's the criterion, the plumb line, to see if I'm in line? You have them in verse in Ephesians 5, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. Where is this going on? In your heart. So this is an internal singing heart. What is the heart? It's the place of your person and your what? Determination. So this is something that's going to take place in your mind where your decisions are made. So in your heart, you'll have a singing heart. Now what we want to do is look at these things a little bit further right now. What does it mean having a singing heart? First of all, it says to sing in psalms. Now, when we look back to the Old Testament Psalms, what are the Old Testament Psalms primarily written under what dispensation? Law. So many of the Psalms, when you look at them, you cannot, if you read the Psalms, you cannot attribute some of the things that are written there for the Christian. Let me give you an example. One of the things it says is that you're to meditate on the law. You're to be looking at the covenants to Israel and how they were there. Now, you can read those Psalms, and I think you should. But you need to realize when you read the Psalms that they're written primarily from what? A saint's perspective under law. Now, what does not change in any dispensation? Who is the same from eternity to eternity? Thou art God. God doesn't change. So God's character is the same in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. Now, what are the Psalms primarily? They're songs of praise, reflecting on Jehovah's character, who he is. We heard Dan read one this morning, Psalm 89. And so the Psalms are songs. They're not songs as we think of them. They didn't have a piano playing, but they would pluck a stringed instrument, you know, like go ding. And then if you can think of a coffee club or something where they go, you have a bunch of guys with knitted hats and they go ding, and then they'll say, oh, no, 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 ding. That's what the Psalms were. They would have a flute or a musical instrument that they would play and they would sing. But what were they? They were primarily poetry that were worshiping and praising Jehovah. But from what perspective primarily? A saint under what? Law. I'm hedging there because some of the Psalms are of Moses. Okay. So the Psalms are primarily of a saint under law, but what do the Psalms do? The Psalms are songs of worship and praise. And worship is telling God back who he is. You're eternal. From eternity to eternity, thou art God. They praise him. What is praise? Because you are always consistently God, you have done this to them, for us, you've done this. So the Psalms are songs of praise that relate God's character to what he is doing or has done. They also are songs of worship. So when it says here, Psalms, it's not necessarily that you're just reading the Psalms, which I'm not against as long as you understand and keep them in context. But it can also be a psalm, it's indicating where you're worshiping and praising God. So one of the indications on the plumb line, am I spirit-filled, am I correctly related to the Spirit is am I praising and worshiping God? Let's go back to verse 19 and says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. Let's look at this word hymns. This is not your hymnal. This word hymn is a communication to God of worship. Look at Acts chapter... By the way, before we leave here, get something. It says, singing to what? What's the word? Yourselves. You see that there? Please underline that, because I'm going to emphasize a point I brought up last week. The spiritual Christian is going to have the Holy Spirit resulting in these things going on in your mind. It's in your heart, where your mind is, your person is, where you make your decisions with your determinant will. Singing and making melody in your heart. This is to affect your decisions. Go to Acts 16. Verse 25. This is Paul in the Philippian jail. He's been arrested. He's arrested unjustly. They have broken the law. He is a Roman citizen. He shouldn't have been there and treated this way. But here we find him, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They were communicating to the Father. They were communicating to him, and Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. That word praises is the word hymnized. It's the word that's used over in Ephesians 5:19, hymn. I would translate this, by praying continually, they hymnized in the past the God. They hymnized the God. And the prisoners heard them. So here we see that hymnizing, one of the ways they prayed to God was by these hymnizing, putting into communication a worship to God. Now, in Acts 16, what verse was it, 25? In Acts 16, 25, is this in the heart or is it vocal? Okay, Nancy's telling me it's a vocal. The rest of you fell asleep. But here she's telling me it's vocal. She's correct. She's correct. In Ephesians 5:19, it was where? In your heart. Now, I'm pointing here, but it's really here. But in your heart. Okay? Now, it's right here. So in your heart, you're hymnizing. You're having psalms and hymns. What are hymns? Hymns are an expression of communication to God about who he is. You're hymnizing the God. You're talking about the Father. You're worshiping him. And you're communicating to him through this hymnizing. But here in Acts 16, 25, it's vocal, right? We're together? So I told you something last week, and I'm going to reiterate it because we're going to show you over and over again about these things. Where, when you're spirit filled, where does the Spirit of God in your mind begin to work? It's in here, in your head, in your heart, where your decisions are made. And so the Holy Spirit puts these thoughts in your mind to what? Last week I talked to you about Thanksgiving. We'll get back to that. But he begins to put in your mind this thought to thank God. But here he begins to put in your mind, in your heart, where your decisions are, to what? To praise in psalms and to worship the God. This is one of the indications as a result of spirit filling, is that you're going to have a heart that's going to begin to praise God for who he is and what he's doing, and it's going to begin to worship him. It's going to be communicating in worship. You then can make a decision as the Holy Spirit leads to now take that which is in your heart and begin to do what? What did Paul and Silas do in Acts 16:25? It was in their heart. Now, what did they do? They took what the Holy Spirit was producing as a result of being Spirit-filled. They took what was in their heart and made a decision to vocalize it. So Ephesians says it's where? In your heart. And it's the result of what? Spirit-filling. But it can come out of the heart as you're led by the Spirit to choose to vocalize that. So in Acts 16:25, we see here they are, Spirit-filled, and the result of that Spirit-filling, they are led by the Spirit in their heart to choose to vocalize what was in their heart outside. Why? For the results that happen. The walls fall down. They don't run away. They tell all the prisoners, hey, you know, he tells the Philippian jailer, don't kill yourself. We're here. And we have the beginning of the church at Philippi, which is really unlike any of the other New Testament churches that we know about. And it starts right here as Paul and Silas are spirit-filled and begin to communicate. Turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews, what is it, chapter 2. I was going to say 12, but that's incorrect. It's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. This is speaking of our Lord. Verse 11, for both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all one thing, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, because of the in Christ. Verse 12, saying, I will declare your name unto my brethren, which are the Christians that are in Christ. In the midst of the church will I, now you have the word praise. Anyone want to guess what that word is? Hymnize. It's our word that's found in Ephesians 5:19 that's going to be the result of spirit filling. So here Christ saying, I will hymnize thee to the brethren, which is the church. Now, what I want here is because the hymnizing is going to be what? I will announce or vocalize, announce the name that belongs to you. So he's announcing the name, which is not the title Jehovah, but the character of God. And so here he's saying, I will announce, I will declare thy character. So hymnizing is worship because it's a communication of prayer that is doing what? Announcing the name, the character of the Father. So one of the results of Spirit filling is that the Holy Spirit, when He's filling up a lacking in your life, a result of that is He'll give you a singing heart where you will begin to announce in worship the character of the Father. It will affect your decisions. It's in your heart. And as the Spirit of God leads, He may lead you to actually vocalize these things. So back to Ephesians 5. The plumb line. Am I Spirit-filled? Well, what's the plumb line? Well, the plumb line of whether I'm Spirit-filled is, am I speaking to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? That word spiritual songs means songs that emanate from the Spirit. The Spirit of God, as you're Spirit-filled, one of the results is, and you're worshiping God and you're praising Him for what He's done, psalms. One of the things He'll do is sometimes He'll produce a song that emanates from the Spirit. We have that little blue hymnal that we use sometimes. Some of those songs, one was written by Jan McPherson that's in there. I would like to look at that's a spiritual song. It's something that emanated when she was Spirit-filled and resulted in her putting into words a song that emanated. The early church sang many of these songs. They didn't hire and buy great hymns of the faith. Didn't say, let's everybody get together and do this. But they did and were taught. In fact, they've dug up in archaeology many of these little songs that the church did sing. And they were spiritual. That means they wouldn't be totally, let's rephrase that. They would not be heretical. They would, if they're emanating from the Spirit, then they would, the Spirit who wrote the Scriptures, and He's leading a song leader who's Spirit-filled to write a spiritual song or make up a song in his mind, they are going to be in harmony with the author of Scripture. They're not going to be heretical. In our little blue hymnal, some of the songs were written by my son-in-law, Phil. He has others that he hasn't even shared with me, but he wrote them down. I know he wrote several of them when he was attending seminary classes and he began learning some of that doctrine and his mind was on things above. He began to think about the character of God and who He is and how we relate to Him. And he wrote these songs. My point is, one of the results of being Spirit-filled is you'll have a singing heart. So if you don't have a heart that is praising God, that is worshiping Him, then maybe your wall is not plumb. And you need to get your mind correctly oriented to the heavenlies. Who is this plumb line for? Am I supposed to go out? Who should I pick on? Dave, you're smiling at me. Am I supposed to go over to Dave and say, okay, I'm Pastor Bidwell. Here's the plumb line. Dave, you don't match up to my plumb line. No, I'm not. This is internal. You know what's going on in your mind. This is something you self-discern. You know what's going on in your head. God knows what goes on in your head. Me, I don't know. Unless you tell me. And then maybe you're lying. But I don't know for sure. But this is your plumb line. You look at Ephesians and say, am I right now praising God for what He's done? Based on His character? Am I worshiping him? Or am I like these idiots that are in Wisconsin around Michigan that says, Christian, and they're writing this trash now, Christians need to forgive God. What? Now, when you start regurgitating that, is that a spiritual song? Is that praise? Is that worship? Is that an idiot? What I'm telling you, folks, is that's going on in Christianity today. They're writing books about this. You need to forgive God so you can go on in your Christian life. What has he done wrong? What has he ever done that's unrighteous? That's a person who doesn't even know God. Pastor Chafer, Lewisberry Chafer, used to say, he missed the bus. It's on his tapes. He said that over and over again. What he meant is the guy's clueless, he's unsaved, his mind, the bus has left town and he ain't on it. Let's go on. Oh, I was going to do one other thing here. Maybe we'll end with this. We'll come back to Thanksgiving, I guess, in a month or so. Let's show you another example of where the Spirit of God puts in your head something that is then vocalized later. So it's in Galatians. We'll see if we can find it. I want Galatians where it says, we say, Abba, Father. Thank you. 4:6. Paul writes in Galatians 4:6, he says, because ye are sons, God had sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Now, what is the heart? You have your mind, the person, and your determination, right? So into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Father, Father. So as soon as you're saved and you're baptized into Christ, because you are sons and we're in Christ, so we're baptized into Christ and we're at the right hand of the Father, right? Once we're saved and we're baptized into Christ and we're the sons of God and we're at the right hand of the Father in His mind, He sends forth the Spirit, and the Spirit is now where? Inside of us, affecting our heart, where our mind is, the mind of Christ, and our determination as a person. Now, who's crying in our heart here? Us or the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit. So once we're baptized into Christ and we're at the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit comes into our heart immediately at salvation and begins to place in our mind of Christ, because we're regenerated, He's introducing us to the Father, and the Holy Spirit is placing in our mind this thought of saying, Father, Father, Abba, Father. We're children of God. We're related to the Father. He is our Father because of regeneration. Now turn to Romans chapter 8. What I'm showing you again is that the Holy Spirit produces this thought process in the mind of Christ that affects our determinations. And when we properly appropriate and are led by the Spirit, then we can vocalize it. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, No, verse 15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of, not adoption, but what? Placement of sons, son placing. Where will we place the sons? In Christ. The Holy Spirit baptizes into Christ at the right hand of the Father, so we're placed as sons in Christ. We have a place where we can communicate to the Father. Now, what do? We see the spirit of placement of sons, whereby now who is crying? Us or the Holy Spirit? We do. We cry, Abba, Father. So the Holy Spirit, when we believe the gospel, places us into Christ. He then comes and regenerates us. By the way, it all happens at the same instant. But it's breaking it down logically. And then as the Spirit of God is in us, He in our heart begins to use the mind of Christ, giving us thoughts to communicate because of our new position in the Father, in Christ. We have a position where we can communicate to the Father. This is Sunday school. If you haven't there, you can come next week. I'm sure he's going to go through some of this. We can communicate. No, it's not next week. It's next month. We can communicate to the Father and speak to Him. And so the Holy Spirit in our heart, begins to cry. He cries, Abba, Father. It's in our mind. He's placing those thoughts in the mind of Christ. We then respond in that heart. We make a decision, and then we cry because we have this position as sons and are led by the Spirit in this context. We then communicate to the Father and say what? What the Holy Spirit is producing in our heart to say, Abba, Father. Putting this all together, one of the results of Spirit filling is we are going to have a singing heart. It's in ourselves. The Holy Spirit is going to produce where we can, result of Spirit filling will begin to work in the mind of Christ, where we'll begin to psalmize God. We'll praise Him for who He is and what He's done. We'll begin to worship Him, hymnizing His character, beginning to look in our heart and think about the character of God. And then we will have spiritual songs that the Holy Spirit will produce, things that emanate from the Holy Spirit in our regenerated spirit, songs that match up with Scripture. And this is our plumb line. If you're Spirit-filled, one of the results of Spirit-filling is a mind of praise, worship, and singing, which as you're led by the Spirit, can be then vocalized out. And probably will be. Because if you have it all in here, it's eventually going to come out of here. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this plumb line of Scripture that keeps us straight. We thank you for being a God who communicates. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.